States the Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a Braisa. Matza Shovar. If a person finds a receipt, that is a document from a husband to his wife, I'm sorry, from a wife to her husband, stating that she, the wife, has received the ksuba. Bizman Shaisha Moda, if the wife is saying, yes, I did receive the ksuba, I did give him that document, Yahzul Abal, give it back to the husband. Eina Isha Moda, if the woman says, I wrote it, but we never had delivered it, I don't admit to it. Lo Yahzir, Lo Lazev, Lo Lazet. We're on Yud Testament Beis, 19b. You can't return it to the husband, because she's claiming it's not true, nor could you return it to her. Bizman Shaisha Moda, Mias Yahzul Abal. However, the Braisa stated that if she admitted that she wrote it, you do give it back to him. So why aren't we worried? V'leichlish, why aren't we worried? Dilma kas v'litim in Nisan. Maybe she wrote it to give it to him in Nisan. V'lo nas na'ad Tishrei. But he only gave her the ksuba in Tishrei, and she only gave him the receipt in Tishrei. And meanwhile, during these 6 months, az lazvan t'le ktubas b'tov asanah min Nisan at Tishrei. In Iyar, she went to someone and said to him, if you want to buy the rights to get my ksuba, you know, take the risk. Maybe you'll get my ksuba, give me some money, maybe you'll get my ksuba. And he gave her money, thinking that when the husband would pay the ksuba, when there would be a divorce, he would get that money. However, now when he comes to the husband saying, hey, I know, I see that you and the wife are divorced. Give me the money that you were going to give to her. Now the husband's going to whip out this receipt, which says that already in Nisan, he already gave her the ksuba. He says, listen, when did you buy it? You bought it in Iyar. At that time, it was too late already. It was already given. I don't owe anything. So therefore, I'm not giving you anything. And now the husband is going to hold on to this money, these lands of his that were supposed to go towards the ksuba illicitly, because really these lands should be going to this buyer. Amar Rava, Rava said, I'll tell you why we're not worried about that. This braisa is a proof to the idea of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, if I sell, let's say somebody owes me money, this woman, her husband owes her money. So she sold that debt to somebody else, saying somebody else could go collect it. If the woman would turn around and now forgive that which is owed to her, even after she sold the right to collect it to somebody else, machol, it's considered forgiven. Because really, the husband owes the money to her, even though she accepted money from some other party, so that other party could get the money of the ksuba. All right, that's an arrangement between her and that other party, but it's really still that the money is owed to her, and it's going to go from her to that other party. So she can still be mochel. That's correct, yeah, but the mechila would work. The mechila would work. So therefore, what's the fear? You sell the debt.
You assign the rights to the buyer.
Yeah, but it's a tov. Remember, it's a tov asanah. People don't really pay much for the debt. They just give a very little bit because it's all very, very risky. This is one of the risks, right? Another risk that this buyer took was that maybe the husband was never going to divorce her. That the husband might never divorce her. That he never would have gotten anything for the ksuba. So this is another risk. When he's buying a debt, he needs the goodwill of the original lender. That lender not forgive the debt. Because if the lender forgives the debt, there's nothing for him to collect.
This is just for ketubah or any
kind all of debt? Debts. All debts. Once they are transferred, the debtor could still forgive it. So, if a debtor could still forgive it, even after he took money for somebody else to collect the debt, so now, and Shmuel goes even further, he says, not only could the guy who sells the debt forgive the debt, afilu yoresh mochel, let's say the woman sold her ksuba, then she dies, her son could be mochel the ksuba before the husband pays it. Her son, her child, the child of the one who's the lender who sells the debt could forgive the debt. So therefore, since she has the right to forgive the debt even after she took money for the ksuba, so there's no fear here. There's no fear. Ksuba is really that the husband owes her money. So what are we saying? If we found a receipt which says that she says she got the money from the ksuba, maybe this receipt is predated, and maybe because it's predated, buyers are going to be losing out. They bought the rights to the ksuba, but meanwhile it's going to be presented to them that the ksuba already was paid before they bought it. They're going to end up losing out illicitly because they are entitled to the ksuba. No, she can always forgive it. She can always forgive the ksuba, even after they bought it from her. So the very fact that she's giving this receipt, even if she gives the receipt later than when it was written, means that she's forgiving the ksuba. So once she forgives the ksuba, the people who bought the ksuba from her are not getting anything, because they never get anything once the lender forgives the loan, even though the lender took money from them, that they should have the right to get the money of the loan. Yeah, that's why it's very little. It's Tova Sana. Buyers give very, very little to get loans because they know it's a big risk.
She has the cake and eat it too. She's in control of everything.
But that's for any loan.
But it's any loan. That's right. It would be with any loan. That's correct.
The answer is that we're not concerned. Discount.
So that's right. Rava said we're not concerned. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. Abaye, Amar Abaye said, "Afilu teim leisel deShmuel." Even if you're going to say that Shmuel is wrong, that she did not have the ability to forgive the ksuba, if she had gotten money for the ksuba and the ksuba hadn't yet been paid, but nevertheless, why aren't we worried about giving back a receipt? Hachav mayaskinan b'shishtar ksuba yotz mitachas yad. The Braisa says that if we find a receipt in the street saying from her to him that you've already paid the ksuba, we give the receipt back to him. That's when she still has the ksuba document. Because had she sold the ksuba, she would have given away the document to the buyers. Therefore, there's no fear that maybe she sold the ksuba and she's messing up the buyers. Why didn't Rava give that answer? Rava Amar, Rava will tell you, no, imishum shtar ksuba. If we're going to say that the fact that she has the ksuba is a proof that she hasn't sold it, maybe not. Maybe she had two ksubos, and she has one, but she sold the other one. Abaya Amar, Abaya said, Chada, first of all, l'shtei ksubos lo chashina. Husbands never give two ksubos. And secondly, shovar bizmano tarif. Secondly, if she sold... A second reason that this is not a fear, if she had sold the ksuba from Nisan until Tishrei, and really this receipt says that she got the money for the ksuba already in Nisan, but she really only gave the receipt to the husband in Tishrei, it's not a problem, because Abayla Tame, this is Abayla Shitaso, who says, Edov b'chasumav zalchan lo, when you have a document, and the document is a benefit for one person, the witnesses on it, just by virtue of their signing, already create the obligation of the document. So therefore, if this receipt was written in Nisan, it's certainly a benefit for the husband to not owe money. So the witnesses, when they sign it in Nisan, are already causing the husband to own the money and not have to pay anymore, even if, in actuality, he only was given the document months later. So therefore, if there was a sale of the Tova Sana in Iyar, a little bit after Nisan, at that point it was a meaningless sale, because already the husband had acquired the monies by virtue of the witnesses signing. So there's nothing to be afraid of giving it back to the husband. And therefore, if they all agree that the husband doesn't owe the money, you could give the receipt back to the husband. Okay, continuing on with the topics of finding different items, and are we allowed to return them to their, intended owner? Matza igro shum. Let's say you find in the street documents where Beis Din is saying in a particular document that they value a certain field at a certain price, so that field will be seized from the borrower and given to the lender. Or igros mazon, documents where the husband is promising to pay food to the daughter of his wife. Or shtare chalitza umiyunin, a document that says that Rachel had a chalitza done to her. Or a document saying that Rachel was a minor married off by her mother or her brother, and at the time she wanted to do it, and now she left through mi'un, she's rejecting her husband, and she doesn't need a get. She said in front of the three of us she doesn't want her husband, and so the Beis Din has written her a document that she is free to marry other people.
So, when we were learning the laws of Yibum,
yes.
I don't recall any discussion that Beis Din actually wrote some type of receipt for her saying that she did chalitza or
mi'un. Now we're discovering it. Yeah. These are documents.
She can do that as a minor?
Yes.
Is this as a minor, not as a...
Yes.
By the way.
No, as a minor. Or shtare beirin, or documents of clarification, which we'll see in the Gemara. One of the explanations is that takes us to Masechet Sanhedrin. We know the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, monetary laws are determined by three judges. What happens if the two people who are fighting can't agree on what judges they want to use? So Zebor lo echad, one can choose one judge. Zebor lo echad, the other one can choose another judge. And those two judges together choose a third judge. So Shtari Berin, if you have a document that says Zev chose, Rabbi Soloveitchik, and Reuven chose Rabbi Kotler, so those documents could be given back. So Shtari Berin, v'chol ma'ase Beis Din, or any type of a document that is a court action, confirmed by the court, so then you return. Because we deal with till now we've been saying if you find documents, you can't give them back, because we've been saying that maybe the document was written, but it never was delivered. But if you have a court document, the court documents only are done once it absolutely is supposed to be done. They wouldn't write it unless they delivered it as well. However, Matza b'chafisa obed luskama. Let's say you find an IOU, a promissory note, but you found it in a chafisa or dluskama. Dluskama is a utensil made of leather. You found it in a wallet. Or you found tachrich shel shtaros. Or you found a bundle, a stack of documents. Oh, aguda shel shtaros, or tied together a bunch of documents. Hareza yachzir, so that you can return. Kama aguda shel shtaros, how many documents tied together is already considered a simin, so that you can return it. Shlosha kshurin zebazeh, three of them tied to each other. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Echad halove mishlosha. If you find three documents of a borrower that he borrowed from three different people. So one document says that he borrowed from Reuven, one document says he borrowed from Shimon, one document says he borrowed from Levi. Yazir halove. So you can give those documents back to the borrower because presumably he has them. And therefore, that means that they were paid, and he got them back. However, shlosha haloven min echad. Let's say you have three documents from the lender, right? It says that Reuven borrowed from Zev, and Shimon borrowed from Zev, and Yaakov borrowed from Zev. And you find these three documents, then yazu l'malva. You give it back to Zev because why would the three borrowers be together? It must be because it's all in the hands of the lender. Let's say you find a document, an IOU amongst your documents, and you just don't remember. In other words, you're watching things and you don't remember. Is this the document of the borrower who gave it to me because apparently he repaid the loan? Or is this the document of the lender who gave it to me because the loan hadn't yet been repaid? Then let it sit until Yo, a Navi comes, and don't give it back to the lender or the borrower. Im yesh imahen simponos. If you have amongst the documents receipts, in other words, there are IOUs, and with the lender together with his IOUs has receipts here. in his documents, Yaseh Masha Besimpono. So then you have to trust what's in those receipts, and that means that the loans have been repaid and he cannot collect the loans. All right, says the Gemara, my shtarei berurin, what are these documents of clarification? Hachatir Gimu, here they explained that what it was is shtarei ta'anasa. It's that the documents of the claimants, where it might say that Reuven claimed one thing, Shimon claimed something else, those claims get returned. Rabbi Yirmiyamar, it's the documents of Zeh Borer Lo Echad and Zeh Borer Lo Echad, where Reuven chose one judge and Shimon chose a different judge, those documents get returned. V'chol Ma'aseh Beis Din, any document that is, an official document done by the court, you can return, because we know that certainly the court clarified it. Ahukita, there was a get. We've seen this quote already several times. There was a get, the ishtakach, that was found, beidina d'Rav Huna, in the court of Rav Huna. It says in the get, b'shviri masa, that this get was done in the town, shviri da'al rachis nahara, that was on the river Rachis. Now the emissary who had been bringing the get claimed, yeah, that's the get that I was bringing, it fell from me, and I'd like to pick it up now and deliver it to the woman. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, you can't. Chayshinan, we're worried, maybe there are shnei shviri, maybe there are two towns shviri, and maybe in that other town there are witnesses with the same names as there are in this get. Amar Rav Chisda l'Rabba. So Rav Chisda told Rabba, they were both students of Rav Huna, puk ayin, go out and, figure out what you think about this ruling of Rav Huna. Delurta ba'ila Rav Huna minach, because in the evening, Rav Huna is going to ask you if you agree with him and whether you think that maybe the get should be given back to the shaliach. Nafak, so Rabba went out, dak v'ashkach, he found our Mishnah. Not the Mishnah said, "Kol ma'aseh beis din hareza yachzir," that any time you have a document that has been done by the court, you do return it. So Amar Rav Amram l'Rabba. So Rav Amram said to Rabba, "Echi pashit ma'ar isur mimona." Okay, ma'aseh beis din, that's talking about things like shtarei berurin. It's talking about monetary documents. How could you resolve a question about a prohibition about marriage from a question about monetary law? Amar Leh, so Rabba said back, Tarda, you're a bored person. In other words, that's lazy. That's not really a good question. Think about this Mishnah, read it. Shtarei chalitzu miunin tnan. The Mishnah talks about documents that are about issues of prohibition. It says a document about a chalitza, a document about a miun, as Todd pointed out. So, because of this dispute, Paka Arza de Bei Rav, the pillar on which the entire Beis Medrash was standing, collapsed. Mar Amar Mishum Latai, Rav Amram said it was because of my behavior. Didi Paka, that's why it broke, because I called me a bored person. So therefore, God was upset and he made the Beis Medrash collapse. Amar Amar, whereas Rabbi said, Latoy Didi Paka, it was because of me that it broke, because he had the chutzpah of trying to disprove me by saying, hey, how could you resolve a question of personal status from a question of money, and made me look bad as if I didn't know that Mishnah. So therefore, God was upset and he made the Beis Medrash collapse. Okay. Matzah b'chafiso b'dluskama. If you find the document in a leather wallet, you do return it. My chafiso, what is a chafiso? Rabba Barchana. Chemes ktana, a small pouch of leather that usually you store wine in it. My dluskama, what's a dluskama? Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, tliki desave, a large pouch of leather that the old people use, because they put in it their utensils in order that they shouldn't have to have a hard time looking to find their utensils. Then the Mishnah says, Tachrich Shel Shtaros, this already begins to get us into the next parak, the issue of returning lost objects based on distinguishing marks. If a person finds a whole in a whole group of documents, or a guda shel shtaros, or a bundle of documents tied together, then you can return them when the guy says, well, I know it was three documents, or I know they were all tied together. How many documents would it be? Do you need to have for it to be considered a bundle of documents? Answer the Gemara, Shlosha Kruchin Zebaze. So three documents wrapped on top of each other. So one document rolled, and on top of that another one, and on top of that another one. So if the owner comes and says, I know you found documents, I know it was mine, because it was three documents rolled one on the other, that's already such a defining simin that we give it back to him. We don't have any of the fears that we had earlier that maybe it was predated or maybe it doesn't really belong to him or any of that.
Do we not hold it a defining simin by one shtar?
We did see earlier, right? If there was a hole next to one letter, we said a defining simin would work.
All those conversations were in the absence of a defining simin.
Right. So the point here is this is a defining simin. That's the chiddush. So that's a tachrit. That's a roll of documents. It's three rolled on top of the other. Kamehi aguda shel shtaros. How many documents would be a simin for a bundle of shtaros? Shlosh shakshurin zebazeh. Three documents tied to each other. So if the owner says, I know that what you found is mine because it was tied with this distinctive knot, and there are three of them tied together with distinctive knots. These are what the knots look like. That's already a strong simon. We give it back to him. Shamit minas, the Gemara says, does that seem to imply that kesher simon, that if he can describe the knot, that's already enough of a sign to get it back? We'll see later in the second parak the Gemara has a doubt about this. The Gemara says, no, it's not a proof. Tani Reb Chir explained this braisa, that it was shlosha kruchim zebazeh, three documents rolled one on the other. So clearly, it's more than just the knot. Ihachi, so one second, if you're saying that it's rolled one on the other, it's the same thing as documents rolled one on the other. So Gemara says, no, tachrich, maybe tachrich means kol chad v'chad b'rosh d'chavre, that the end of each document is placed at the head of the next document. Aguda is diramu ahadadi, is that one was put on top of the other, and then the three of them were bundled together, and then they were rolled up. Ukruchos. Ask the Gemara, my machris, how does the finder announce that he's found stuff and he's waiting for someone to give the definitive sign? So the Gemara answers, minyan. He says, well, I found three documents. And he waits to see someone to come and to describe how those documents were arranged. So Gemara says, "My iria tlasa." Then why, if that's the case, why do you have to say only if it's three documents would you return it? If you betray Nami, why don't you say that even if he found two documents, he'll announce that he found two documents and let the owner come and say, yeah, there were two documents, they were rolled one on top of the other with the end of one at the beginning of the next, or rolled one on top of the other because they were placed one on top of the other and then rolled together. Why two simanim? Two also could have a simon if that's the case. Ela kedam Ravina, but rather it's going to be like what Ravina will explain later in the second perek. Tiva machris, the finder just announces, I found coins. That's what he's going to say there. In this context, it's that the finder says, I found documents. And then the one who lost it has to tell us really two things. Number one, how many documents? And number two, how those documents were rolled. So here he announces, I found documents. And the real owner has to come and say how those documents were rolled, plus how many. He can't say there were two, because if he says there are two, that he already knew from the announcement of the finder. Because once the finder says documents, it can't be one. It must be at least two. So if he says there were two, that's meaningless. So that we wouldn't return, because that's not telling us anything. But if he tells us there were three or five or seven, and they were rolled either, you know, at the end of one going to the beginning of the next one, or rolled by all of them being piled up and then the whole pile being rolled together, that's already a significant enough description and markers that we would return it to him. Now we learned at the end of the Mishnah, what happens if you find three documents from one lender or three documents from one borrower? So Shimon Gamil Omer, Echad Alovim Yishlosha, if you find three documents of the same borrower, but that he had borrowed from two different people, yachzor lov, then you give it back to the borrower, and we say, okay, it's the borrower's, I guess he paid off the loans. Why? Because if we're going to say that these three documents all belong to those three different lenders, and the loans haven't been paid back, my bo gabi adadi, you know, why are they all together? So I'll tell you why they're all together. Maybe all three lenders went to the Bezdin, to the scribe, in order for the scribe to validate them. And then the shtaros fell from the validator. Answer the Gemara de Makaimin. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the documents were already validated. But Dilma, maybe the Safra Nafil, maybe the documents were being validated by the scribe, and he dropped them, and not that they went back to the borrower. So Gemara says, nope. A lender is not going to leave his document in the hands of the scribe. Once the scribe validates it, once he validates it, he picks it up right away. And therefore, if they, what we found here were three validated IOUs, clearly it didn't come from the three lenders. Why would they all be together? It must be it came from the single borrower. Then we learned if it was the other way, shlosha shalavu me'echad, three different borrowers from one lender, and you found the documents of that lender, yazal amalvi, you give it back to the lender. Why? Because if these are the documents of the borrowers already, because the borrowers already repaid, my bo gabi adadi, why are they together? So Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe they are of the borrowers already. The borrowers did repay. Maybe they went to the scribe to write the documents. Not that they repaid. Maybe they went to the scribe to write the documents and the loans never happened yet. So Gemara says, no. They're written in three different handwritings. So if there are three different handwritings, they're obviously not coming from the same scribe. Maybe they fell from the borrowers. When they went to validate, they put all the three documents together to go validate them. So Gemara says, no. Malva mekayim shtara. Lenders want to validate documents to be able to collect with it. Lova lo mekayim shtara. Borrowers has no interest in validating a document once it was paid, that he got it back, or before that, he has no interest in validating, so he would never be sending it to a scribe to be validating them. Then we said, yeah, question.
What is this process of, I understand the process of going to Beit Din to validate.
Yeah.
What's the process of there being a scribe after the validation process?
No, it's the scribe of the Beit Din.
So the Beit Din is writing on the shtar that this has been approved by the Beit Din.
Yeah. Then we said if a person finds in his stack of documents both loan documents as well as receipts, in Yeshimon Simponos, if he has receipts, then you have to do what's in the receipts. Obviously, the loans have been repaid. If the receipt, though, is still in the hands of the lender, even though it's written in his own handwriting, so bottom line, he's just playing with the borrower because it's the borrower who needs the receipt. It's not the lender who needs the receipt. And therefore, upaso, it doesn't mean anything, and the borrower still needs to pay. Let me bear your kasa b'chsav yad sofer. And even certainly, if this receipt was written by a scribe, and it's in the hands of the lender, it means nothing. The ikulimim or safer is family of a kasa, because maybe he figured, you know what, the borrower is going to pay me. At the time, I don't know if I'm going to be able to write him a receipt, so let me have the receipt pre-written. Even if it was written by himself, puzzle, it doesn't mean anything if he's the one who has it. Because why did he write it? Savor, he figured, maybe my borrower is going to come to me and be ready to repay me on a Friday afternoon, right as it's candlelighting time. The kaparali, and he's going to be willing to give me the money, but he's going to say, I'll only give you the money if you give me a receipt. If I'm not going to give him a receipt, he's not going to give me the money. Meanwhile, as we're about to go into Shabbos, I'm not going to be able to write the receipt. So that's why I wrote the receipt early. I'm going to write it early, so that by the time if he comes up with the money, I'm going to give it to him right away. So therefore, the receipt is not a proof that the money was given, It's just that he was preparing for the money to be repaid. Ask the Gemara, but what about our Mishnah? It's not, we learned. Im yesh imayin simponos, if the lender finds receipts, yasa masha basimponos, he has to do what it says in the receipts, that he can't collect the loans. I don't understand. If a lender has receipts, they're meaningless. The receipts are meaningless. Answer the Gemara, Kedamar Rav Safra. The answer is based on the same answer that Rav Safra is going to give. That shenimtza bein shtaros kruin. Let's say the lender has IOUs, but they are torn. They are torn. So once the lender has IOUs that are torn, and there are receipts, that's a proof that the loans are in fact paid off. Hachanami, so that's what our mission is dealing with also. Shematsu, Ben Shtaros, Kruin. They find receipts amongst torn loan documents. And then we assume why the loan document's torn. It's because the loan was repaid, the receipt is valid, but if you just find a receipt without a torn loan document in the hands of a lender, then the lender should assume that the receipt is not a valid receipt. Tashma, come to your proof. A question on Rabbi Yirmiyah. We learned in a city that has two people by the name of Yosef and Shimon. Nimtzala echad ben shtarosav, a person finds amongst his loan documents that shtarosh Yosef and Shimon parua. The IOU to Yosef and Shimon, the promissory note to Yosef and Shimon, has already been repaid. He doesn't know which one that is, which Yosef ben Shimon. So shtarosh neipru, and he can't collect from either of the Yosef ben Shimon, because each one can claim, I'm the one who paid. Okay, so 1 second, but here, again, you have the receipt found in the hands of the lender, and you see that it's meaningful. Answer the Gemara. Again, it's the same answer we gave, Kedamar of Safra, that nimsa ben shtarosav kruin, he found this receipt amongst torn loan documents. Hachanami, here it's, we're talking about Shenimtza ben Shtaros Kruin. He found the receipt saying that the loan to Yosef ben Shimon has been repaid. Next to the document that said, Yosef ben Shimon owes me money and it's torn. Tashma, coming here, another proof, another question on this idea of Rabbi Yirmiyah that a receipt in the hands of the lender is meaningless. We learned that if the orphans of the lender are trying to collect the loan from the orphans of the borrower, they have to swear multiple oaths. They have to say, Shvua shlo pakadnu abba, we swear that father didn't tell us before he died that the loan was repaid. Two, shlo amar lanu abba, father didn't tell us that the loan was repaid. Shlo matzanu ben shtirosu shal abba, and we didn't find a receipt amongst the documents of father, shishtar zeh parua, that the loan was repaid. But if they would have found amongst their father's documents a receipt, then they cannot collect. One minute. Their father is the lender. A receipt in the hands of the lender is meaningless, unless Rabbi Yirmiyah is wrong. So Amr of Safra. Safra explains the meaning of their oath is that they're swearing, Kishanimtza ben Shtaros Kruim, that they're swearing that they didn't find the receipt amongst the torn loan documents. They didn't find a receipt with a torn IOU, because that, even in the hands of the lender, would be meaningful. Tashma, coming here, a proof. We learned Simpon, a receipt, Sheishal of Edim, that has witnesses signed on it that the money was repaid, and it's in the hands of the lender, and the lender is saying, "I'm sorry, I wasn't repaid." Yiskayim b'chosmav. So we go to the witnesses, and if they say yes, we signed it, and we say, "I'm sorry, it's a good receipt," and you, the lender, can no longer collect, so even though it is in the hands of the lender. Answers the Gemara, Ema, explain that to mean, Yiskayim Mechosma, let it be validated from those who signed it. In other words, Deshailinan Luhu Lisahadi, we ask the witnesses, okay, you signed, Iparua Ilo Parua, did you sign because you saw the money repaid? Then it's a good receipt. Or did you sign even though you didn't see the money repaid? Tashma, maybe we can have another proof against Rabbi Yirmiyah. We have a brash that says, Simpon, a receipt found in the hands of the lender, Sheyesh Alav Edom, that has witnesses on it, Kasher, is a Kasher receipt. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, why? If the lender has it, it's not a good receipt. So my answer is, my Edom, what does it mean, witnesses? Edekiyum, witnesses who validated it, that the court validated that it was a good receipt, and then certainly it is a good receipt, even though the lender is the one holding on to it. Talking about Mustabra, we know that that's what the case, that this price is talking about where it was validated. Made Iktani safe, because it said at the end of that price, V'she'ein Olav Eidim, but if the receipt doesn't have witnesses, possible, it's not a good receipt. My Ein Olav Eidim, what does it mean it doesn't have witnesses? Eilema Delekki Luvei Eidim Klal, has no witnesses at all. So Tzvich Lameh, the apostle, of course it's not a good receipt. No witnesses. El Olav, what does it mean? Eidei Kiyom, it doesn't have witnesses validating it.
Because I guess it's a process by which the simpon is
right. Well, I think it's clear that if a borrower has a simpon, then that's fine.
But the lender could say, I didn't give him the simpon, it's a fake simpon.
I don't know. Gufa, we learned in the Braisa before, simpon, sheyeshal of edim, if a receipt has witnesses, yiskayim b'chosmav, it should be validated by those who sign it. Ein olav edim, if it doesn't have witnesses, v'yatz mitachas yedei shalish, but it's in the hands of a third party, that the lender had given it to somebody else. Oh, shiyotzi l'achach yisum staros, or if the receipt is on the document itself, after the signatures of the witnesses of the IOU, kosher, it's certainly okay. Yotzi mitachas yedei shalish, the reason why a receipt from a third party is certainly okay, t'ahim ne'mal v'l'shalish, because the lender clearly is trusting him by giving it to him. So now that he says that it was paid, he's trusted. And if it, the receipt is on the IOU itself after the signature of the witnesses, it's also certainly okay. Because if it wasn't really a receipt, the lender would never have ruined his IOU from within the IOU. The fact that on the IOU itself it says it was paid is clearly very credible.